Hello, hello, my fellow podcast people. Azrin, the language nerd here. I hope you're having a fantastic Black Friday or whatever day and time it is for you right now as you're listening to this podcast episode. If you would like to learn more about the business that I run, which is called the Calgary Language Nerds, I encourage you to visit my website. That is azrinthelanguagenerd.com. That's spelled A-Z-R-E-N, thelanguagenerd.com. In fact, here's a little bit of an insight, a little bit of a sale that I have going on right now since it's Black Friday. For anybody wanting to learn Japanese, Mandarin, German, or Russian, we have a 10% sale on any new purchases. So any purchase you make, you'll get a 10% discount. Or if you're trying to learn French, Spanish, or English, we have a stupidly good deal on that one. For 6 hours of lessons, I'm sorry, let me say that again. 4 hours of lessons and a 2 hour language learning advice session with me. So for that 6 hours of time, it's only $99. So it's a pretty darn good deal in my opinion. If you'd like to take advantage of any of those two deals, send me a message on Instagram or Facebook and I will send you payment instructions as well as get you set up with the tutor. This sale is supposed to actually expire today, but then again, I'm recording this at 2 p.m. on Friday, so depending on when you listen to this podcast, that might not give you enough time. So for the podcast people, maybe I'll extend it all the way to the end of the day Sunday, and I'll call that the deadline for this sale here. And with all that aside, let's dive into today's podcast episode. There are two things I'd like to discuss today. The first one is one of the biggest gifts that I have as a language learner, and one of the biggest things that allows me to learn other languages successfully. The second thing I would like to discuss is something that I came across on Instagram, which was a unique perspective on comparing yourself to others. And I would like to share that perspective with everybody today, because I think it'll be a little bit of a breakthrough and a bit of an interesting insight for those of you listening today. Now, let's start with my biggest gift as a language learner. My biggest gift as a language learner is that I don't overthink the process of learning a language. I don't overthink the process of learning a language. I keep things very simple. And many of the language learners that I come across make the mistake of overthinking the process. And overthinking the process of learning a language is one of the worst things that you can do. It's one of the things that's going to impede your progress and slow down your progress. There's very little that you can actually do that slows your progress more and makes the process of learning a language less enjoyable than overthinking the whole process of learning a new language. When you overthink learning a language, it causes you stress and it makes things a heck of a lot less fun. And those two things are bad. That's a bad combination. When I learn languages, I keep things pretty darn simple. I pick a strategy or an approach. In my case, I tend to take a lot of classes. I like to take classes, but that's not for everybody, which is fine. I pick an approach and I go with it. And that's it. It's as simple as that. Sometimes the approach isn't working very effectively. Sometimes it's working very effectively. Sometimes it's something in the middle. It was an okay decision. It depends, but I pick an approach, I stick with it, I make the best of it, and that's it. I remember I went to India. I had this idea that I was going to go to India. I was going to take intensive classes with a private tutor every single day of the week. I was going to learn a lot, and that's what I did. Now, that by no means went perfectly. In fact, I learned a lot and it was beneficial, but the teacher I found was not the ideal teacher for my needs at the time. But I did my best with it. I made the best of the situation. I took my classes. I went every day. I did not overthink the process. I did not think, oh my God, I made a bad decision. Maybe I should change my mind. Maybe I should switch things up. No. I went to my classes. I studied with her. I tried to communicate to the best of my ability what my learning needs were, what she was doing that I was hoping to get changed in the classes. And I made the best of the situation. Sometimes, you know, I decided to take some classes at the University of Calgary. I thought that would be good for me. And it has been good for me. It hasn't been perfect, but it's been good. And I don't overthink the things that are not necessarily going super I guess, not as well as I'd like. Like, the class I'm taking right now is moving at such a slow pace. And ultimately, I'll be honest, maybe it wasn't a great idea to take this class. It's not been as beneficial as I expected it would be. It just hasn't. But I don't overthink that. I think about it once or twice, maybe three times. I acknowledge it, I recognize it, and I move on. I think that's the key. You have to be introspective about your language learning. You have to think about the way you're learning a language. Is it working? Is it not working? What could I change? You have to think about that. But you have to think about it once. Don't think about it 10 times. A lot of people, what they do is they're thinking about learning French and they're thinking about struggling with the passé composé, which is a grammar tense in French. And they think about how hard it is. And they realize, oh my goodness, I can't learn the passé composé. This is so hard. I'm not able to figure it out. And then they think about that for the next 2 months. I want you to think about it once, maybe twice. I think twice is probably the right number, because the first time it occurs to you, you're like, oh my God, I'm really struggling with this. Once that thought occurs to you, you need to find a time to sit down for 2 hours and think about, how am I gonna solve this problem of learning the passé composé? What am I gonna do? What am I doing about this? Think about it one time, make a decision of what you're gonna do about it, and go. Don't think about it again. Follow the strategy that you thought was gonna work to allow you to learn the passé composé, right? Give yourself a few months to follow that strategy. Once your few months are over, think again. How did that go? Did I learn the passé composé? Oh, I kinda did. It kinda worked, but I didn't fully learn it. I got better at the future randomly, which I didn't expect, so that was kind of cool. But now I've noticed, you know, the passé composé is okay, I'm better at it, but I've realized my pronunciation really sucks. Why the heck am I still struggling with French pronunciation after a year and a half? What the hell have I been doing? I need to fix this. Think about it once, make a strategy, go do it, don't think about it again. Most people don't do that. Most people think about the struggles they're having over and 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 over. And they get lost in that rabbit hole of overthinking the things that they're struggling with in the language. Do not do that. Think about, I'm gonna say it over and over. I wanna get this in your head deeply, as deeply drilled into your head as I can. When you're struggling with something in a language and it's frustrating you, you don't like it, think about it once. And think about it once for like 2 hours, right? Make a strategy of what you think you need to do in order to fix that problem over the next 2, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 12 months. Because by the way, the thing you're struggling with might not be fixed overnight. It might take, you might have to pick a strategy and implement it for 4 months before something good actually happens. But think about it once, figure out your strategy, go do the strategy, and stop thinking about and overthinking the language and the challenges you're having in the language. Overthinking is not good. Do not overthink. Yeah, don't do that. And that now lends itself very, very nicely to the next thing that I would like to talk about today, which is comparing yourself to others. A lot of people compare themselves to others. They look at what others have and what they don't have, and they feel bad because of it. This is why so many people undownload Instagram, because they're caught up looking at everyone else's accounts and thinking what a great life they have, what a great life the other Instagrammer has in comparison to you. This is why back before the internet and everything, we had the expression of keeping up with the Joneses, and your neighbor bought a nice car and you felt the need to buy a nice car. That's kind of, it's something that's perhaps hardwired into human beings. I don't know where it comes from, but a lot of us do this. And within a language learning scope, people do this too. I, for example, have been learning Mandarin for roughly 6 years now. I'm pretty happy with the progress I've made, but I'll be honest. It would be super easy for me to look at others that have also been learning Mandarin, looking at the progress they've made, and me feeling discouraged about, oh my God, why have they progressed more than me? Because there's elements of my Mandarin that have not progressed very much in 6 years. There's things that I still am not very good at. And sometimes I look at people and they have studied for less time than me, or I see that they've studied for a similar amount of time, but they're excelling in certain respects more than me. And I see that frequently enough. I see it frequently enough. And it doesn't really get to me. It makes me competitive. I do feel upset sometimes, but it's a motivator. It doesn't cripple me. It's not a negative. It doesn't cause negative emotions in me. But for many people, for many others, it does. And I think that's not a good thing. Don't compare yourself to others. That actually bleeds into overthinking things. Because often people are, one of the things they're overthinking is how much they've progressed in comparison to other people, right? In comparison to others that they've seen go learn the language. And that's not a very good thing. Don't do that. It's not productive. It's not a productive decision for you to make. And I saw something on Instagram. I think it was it yesterday or was it 2 days ago? Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was 2 days ago. But I saw something on Instagram while I was scrolling. And it was a post by a fellow that I follow whose username is at Gary V. Gary V. E. I pre-warn you, if you go look at his content, there's a lot of swears and it's kind of loud and noisy. What I would encourage you to do is listen to the underlying messages and ignore some of the brash language, because often the message is the key thing to listen for, at least in my perspective. I think he's got some very insightful things within what he's saying, despite some of the loud language and kind of brash personality that he seems to have on camera. But regardless, one of the posts that he had is he posted something asking, why do you compare yourself to people who have more than you? Why do you compare yourself to people who have more than you? Why do we default into that? Why don't we compare ourselves to people who have less than you? He's like, listen, people are comparing themselves to people who have more. You're comparing yourself to, for example, I think the example he gave is, you're looking at someone like Beyonce and you're saying, oh my God, why can't I dance like that and sing like that and have money like that and be like that and be pretty like that? And he's like, but she's like the top 1% of the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. There's like one Beyonce. I think Beyonce was the example he used. Well, it's the example I'm using. You know, Beyonce's in this top 1% of the 1% and the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of the 1% to a point that it's hard for our brains to even comprehend to what top 1% of the 1% she's even at. So why do you compare yourself to that? Like, why do we default into doing that? Why aren't we defaulting into comparing ourselves to people who on paper have less than we do? Because what we don't realize is often when you start to look at least this is my interpretation of what he's saying. When you start to look at, okay, these people have things on paper better than I do. These people on paper have things worse than I do. And when you look at things holistically, you can actually see on paper where you stack up on paper anyway. And that's a key part of this conversation, which we'll get to. You can see on paper exactly where you stack up. And if you're listening to this podcast, when you actually compare yourself equally as much to people who have less than you and equally as much to people who have more than you, and you do that, you'll start to realize on paper just how far ahead you are in comparison to the rest of the world. Because you'll realize, oh wow, there's people who live on the street and barely have enough to eat every day. Wow, I have it much better, again, on paper, than that person. Oh wow, there's X number of people in North Korea right now. I have it on paper better than they do. At least my government's not trying to kill me. I don't run the risk of being hung tomorrow morning because of something I did. Well, that's a pretty good thing, isn't it? When you look at comparing yourself to people very holistically, and you do it objectively, you objectively compare yourself to people, not just to Beyonce, not just to the top 1% of the 1% that you look up to that's pretty, have beautiful eyes, and are so successful and are rich and have that nice car and this, that, the other thing. Not only to them, but also compare yourself to your friends. Also compare yourself to people who have considerably less than you. And you objectively compare yourself, you actually do that, you're gonna realize you have things pretty damn good, and you'll stop feeling pretty sad about about what you have, what you don't have, you'll feel a lot better about it, at least in my perspective. And now the key thing I've been saying this whole time is people have more slash less than you on paper. Now, why does that matter? Well, you don't know, how do I say this? You don't fully understand the people that you feel jealous of. You don't really understand what their life is like. All you know is the things that you see that they have that you wish you had. But that's all you're seeing. You don't actually understand what's happening in their life. You don't. For example, here's a great example. Let's say you compared yourself to me, and maybe there's something that I do or that I have that you actually feel a little bit jealous of. Let's assume there's something. I don't know what it is. Oh, Azrin has a language learning podcast. Wow, I wish I could do that. Azrin's life. I've actually had people say this. Wow, I wish I had your life. It seems so cool. You get to travel and you get to work in the field that you love. You get to do this and you get to work in languages. Wow, that's so cool. You don't have a boss. Wow, I wish I had that. Oh man. I've gotten messages. I have had some conversations like that. What you don't know, or maybe what you don't realize, is that there's more going on than what you initially see. When you are out with your friends on a Wednesday at 7 p.m. at wing night or at dinner, I still have 4, 5 hours, 6 hours left in my day. I'm going to be teaching till about 9:30 p.m. 9:30 p.m. I basically have to take care of my sister for the next couple of hours until she goes to sleep. For those of you who don't know, I have a younger sister who is mentally disabled. So she's 20. How old is she? 25? Holy wow, she's 25 years old. Or 24, 25? She's 25 years old. Oh my goodness. Wow, she's 25. That's crazy. That's older than I initially thought. She's 25 years old, but her brain is developed to the same level of a two-year-old. So she wears diapers, you have to feed her, she's almost blind, she needs full-time care. And you don't realize that about my life. And when you realize that, when you realize the responsibility that comes with being, you know, I'm actually her alternate guardian, like I'm like her dad in a way, it's like I have a kid. When you realize that extra responsibility, you're thinking, oh, Azrin's got this great life, he does this, that, oh my goodness, but you're not realizing the burden of having a disabled 25-year-old sister that is your responsibility till the day you die. You don't realize that. You don't think about that. And if you did, you'd be less likely to think, oh, I wish I had things like Azrin, because, well, you probably don't want that part of my life. I take on that burden. It's not even a burden. I mean, it's not a burden for me. It's a responsibility for sure. And I feel the weight of the responsibility, but it's a responsibility I take on gladly because my sister and I are super close. We're super duper close. This week, I've been watching her during the daytime. We had to send her caregivers home for a couple of weeks because we had contact with someone who likely has COVID. So we just wanted to be safe and just ask the caregivers not to come in. So I've been watching her full time and I love it. Like if someone could pay me to do that, like I would do that in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, I would do that. I really enjoy it. I really, really enjoy it. But a lot of you might not enjoy that. Or here's another example. You might think, oh, Azrin's got a cool podcast. No, this is so cool. What you don't see is the fact that, or even like, oh, Azrin's such a good communicator, this, that, oh my God. Well, what you don't see is the fact that I've been working on my speaking skills since 2011, 9 years. There's these old YouTube videos, you can probably still find them actually, on YouTube, they're pretty embarrassing, of me trying to make the videos and trying to actually sound coherent and everything and not being able to do it. Right, you didn't see a lot of the training, the intensive training I went through in my old line of work, the really tough conversations I'd have about my poor communication style and this and that. You don't even see, if we rewind, what a poor communicator I was as a child. You should have seen in school how frustrated people would get with me, teachers, my mom, because I couldn't explain to them what I didn't understand in school. You don't see a lot of the arguments and being yelled at because you're not able to clearly express yourself. You don't see that, right? And if you saw that and you really saw it, you'd be less likely to give that trade-off. You wouldn't want to trade. You wouldn't want to have my skill set of how I communicate, for example, because you because if you understand what it took for me to have that, you would think, ooh, I don't want to go through that process, right? You see someone, I'll give a non-Azran example. You know, you see some stand-up comedian who's amazing, and you're like, oh, I wish I was funny like that. What you don't see is the sheer work they put in for 10 years to be that good, where 8 of those years they were actually homeless, almost homeless, barely making enough to eat, living out of their cars for years at a time. You're like, oh my God, if you knew that, you wouldn't want to have that anymore. So, or even like, wasn't Robin Williams someone that's the actor and the stand-up comedian? What didn't he have something like that where he committed suicide because of mental health issues? But he was like the funniest man in America in terms of, at least in Hollywood. Like, wasn't there something like that? I don't know his full story, but didn't something like that happen? Where someone who looks so full of life and so jolly and happy was actually in pain to the point where he had to commit suicide. You didn't know that. You just didn't know. So when you're comparing yourself to people who have more than you, realize they only have more than you on paper. They might have things all put together on the outside, but they might not have things put together on the inside. You just don't know. You just don't know, right? And then not to mention, even if you had something that they have that you wish you had, you don't fully realize the baggage that might come with the thing that they have that you wish you had. You might think he has $10 million. I wish I had $10 million. What you don't know is when you have $10 million, you don't know the fear that comes with losing the $10 million that you have. You don't know what that feels like. And all of a sudden you have the $10 million and you're like, oh my God, I wish I didn't have it, because living with this fear of losing it is unbearable. You might think, I wish my daddy was rich. Oh, look at that so-and-so. His dad's rich, parents are rich. He kind of has an easy ride through life. That's the dream. What you don't know is the mental health issues that come with having rich parents. Because, and not always, but in many cases, because now everybody looks at the son and goes, oh, you're only successful because your daddy puts you on, because you have a rich mommy, you have a rich dad. And all of a sudden, nobody, imagine if nobody looked at you with respect in your eyes. Imagine if you thought nobody looked at you with respect because of your parents. And there's nothing you can do about it, because everything that you ever accomplish is because your dad or your mom is rich and successful and puts you on. Could you imagine what that life would be like? All of a sudden, you think twice about wishing that you had rich parents. Right? You think about so much, you just don't realize. It's like, what's that story? Isn't there some story about someone asking a genie for a wish and they get their wish, but they don't get the wish in the way that they thought it would really be? Oh, like Midas Touch, for example. There's a good story of that. There's lots of stories. He wanted everything to touch to become to gold, right? That's what he desperately wanted. He wished he had that. And suddenly he got the power and he could do it. And then what happens at the end is he can't touch his loved ones. And he hadn't realized that side. He hadn't realized the consequence. Everything that's good and amazing that you'd ever want has a secondary side effect that you just didn't think about. Everything is a double-edged sword. Even bad is a double-edged sword. Bad has a lot of bad to it, but bad also has a lot of good to it. Adversity has a lot of bad to it, but it also has a flip side. On the other side of the bad, there's a lot of good that comes with it. When you're homeless, it sucks, and you can't eat, it sucks. It's awful, it's terrible. But there is a little bit of a silver lining. If you get out of the homelessness and you clean things up and you get out of it, all of a sudden you're really grateful that you were homeless, because now you're able to get out, and you know that if you ever go back, you know how to get out again. Does that make sense? There's a good side to the bad, and there's also a bad side to the good. When you're really rich and famous, well, you get death threats in the mail. People are up in your private life. People judge you. You might lose ambition because you don't know what to do with yourself. You know, there's so much. There's always bad that comes with good, and there's always good that comes with bad. So you can't compare yourself to others. Anyway, this has gone much longer than I actually thought it would, but that's okay, because we had a really short podcast this week that was only 2 minutes long. So thank you for your attention as always, and we'll chat later. Bye for now. See you.